Welcome to Sensual Tsunami, the blissful rapture of your female orgasm. Ah, the womanly orgasm, the little death that makes every cell in your body moan, whimper, and sigh with delicious, overwhelming release. Depending on who you ask and how you were raised or how skilled the men you've been with were or weren't, you might think there's only one type of orgasm that you can have, but you'd be so very, very wrong. In the next few highly instructional pages, I'm going to do two things for you. I'm going to teach you about the five types of orgasm a woman can have and dispel myths about why some women are more orgasmic than others. And I'm also going to teach you exactly how to have each of these five types of orgasm with a man or even without. Even if you're shy, and even if your man isn't exactly a virtuoso in the sack. I'll tell you right now, sex gets a lot more exciting when you learn these tricks about taking your pleasure into your own hands. But first, let's take a second to talk about your experience with orgasms. You might be one of those women who thinks she's never even had an orgasm, and we're going to change that right now. Or you might be one of those women who can make herself have a truly mind-boggling orgasm just by closing your eyes, rubbing your thighs together, and thinking about it. And if so, you are very, very lucky. For a whole lot of women, consistently having an orgasm can feel a little like hitching a ride on Halley's Comet. It doesn't happen too often, and everything has to line up just perfectly. So why is it so hard for so many women to climax? Well, personally, I think there's a few simple reasons. Number one, there's mental obstacles around sex and expressing our sexuality that have built up in our subconscious minds for decades. Number two, daily stress can make it absolutely impossible to relax. Admit it, you've been in bed with your man before, had him trying every trick in the book, pushing every button he knows, and no matter how hard you try, you just can't stop thinking about that damn laundry you still have to do. And number three, part of it's not knowing the orgasmic potential of your own body. The fact is, a woman's body is an orgasmic sports car compared to the body of a man. Now it's time to take that sports car out of the garage and see just how fast and far it can go. If you're having mental trouble achieving orgasm, then go back to Language of Desire and dive deep into the Madonna Moan section of the program, as well as the worksheets in Module 2. Because that module is just jam-packed with all sorts of exercises to help you open up and relax enough to feel the pleasure you're entitled to. Now, let's talk about the physical side of orgasm. Really quick, before we get started, I'm going to tell you, I happen to be one of those women who can get to, or pretty damn close to, orgasm just by having my nipples stimulated or kissing really passionately, sometimes even just using my imagination. And now, I'm not saying that to you to brag, but to make a point. And that point is that every woman is unique. And while some women find having an orgasm as easy as falling off a log, for most women, you have to use specific techniques like the ones I'm going to outline below for you to really have a body-quaking orgasmic flood like you deserve. So the first stop on this adventure is getting to know your lady bits. So I'm including a little bit of an anatomy lesson in this section. Because you can't drive that sexy sports car if you don't know where the gas pedal is, right? So I'm going to give you some detailed information on all sorts of wonder your body holds for you. In the online version of this, there is a illustration reference guide that points out all the different parts on a little medical illustration. So you'll, if you're listening to the audio, you'll definitely want to take a moment to refer back to that. But there's, you know, all the different parts of our body are just our vagina itself. And outside of that, there's the labia majora, the labia minora, our vaginal canal, which then ends in the cervix. Also, the A spot is right up in that area. and then that leads into the uterus, our rectum, which sits just south of our vaginal opening, the G-spot, which is about 1 to 3 inches, roughly, it depends on the woman, inside on the front wall of your vagina, and behind that, in between the bladder and the urethra and the vagina, are the paraurethral glands, also called the Skene's glands. And then we're going to spend first a lot of time talking about our clitoris and why what you think it might be actually might be different than what you know. So, the feminine orgasm number one, the clitoral orgasm. And this is the orgasm that gets all the press and that you actually get by pressing your love button, ha ha. Fact, the clitoris, otherwise known as the pink bud, the bean, or the little man in the boat, is the single most sensitive spot on your entire body. It has over 8,000 nerve endings in that teeny little jelly bean of an area. And that's as many nerve endings as a guy has in his entire penis, by the way. This is all packed together in something the size of a pencil eraser, ready to be set off with just the right push of a button. So, in terms of anatomy, we kind of won the lottery there. More facts. The clitoral orgasm is the most common and familiar type of orgasm for women. Most women, 70 to 80% of us, require direct clitoral stimulation in order to achieve orgasm. When we masturbate, generally speaking, we're massaging and stimulating the clitoris to achieve climax. A variety of pressure, sensation, and rhythm can be used to achieve orgasm, as well as manual, finger stimulation, oral, a vibrator, or a combination of all of it might be what you need to get yourself over the edge. The one thing to know is the actual clitoris itself, it extends up into our bodies. It's more than just that little bean. That's just the end of it. And when the clitoris becomes aroused, it actually becomes erect. And that's similar to the action that's happening with the penis. The bud engorges and it flushes a deeper shade of red or pink during arousal. And some guys, if they're, got their face down there watching, that's how they kind of know. They can actually see the color change. And something that a lot of people don't know is because of the anatomical shape of the entire clit, meaning it extends up inside the body as far as a few inches in some women, it can be stimulated and pleasured from massaging the labia, the hood, even up toward the pubic bone itself. So it's more than just the little bud. So this is important to know and to communicate to your partner if you find that direct stimulation is just too sensitive. Orgasm can be achieved by stimulating the entire clitoris, not just the bud. We're going to talk a little bit more about that below. So what does a clitoral orgasm feel like? Most women describe it as a little point of warmth and electricity that builds right around your clit, and then it grows in intensity and spreads into the lower abdomen, and eventually it all erupts into waves of a climax. And you might actually feel your whole clitoris spasm during climax. Depending on intensity, you could very well have a moment of a euphoric kind of out-of-body experience. I know that's happened to me personally a time or two. So how do you have a clitoral orgasm? Of all the types of orgasm, this is generally the easiest for a woman to have. Usually, just beginning to press or rub right on the clitoris at first, it won't feel that great. It's just too much pressure too quickly. So, massaging the labia first, then slowly introducing the clit very gently at first is a good strategy. Lubrication is key, whether that comes from saliva or lube or your own personal juices that join the party as you get aroused. And the big mistake most women and men make when trying to have a clitoral orgasm is stimulating just the bud, not the entire clitoris. Because it extends up into our bodies, pressing and massaging alongside of the bud, not just directly on it, even up near the pubic bone, this can give wonderful sensations and help bring about orgasm too. Now, of course, for most women, there's one surefire way to have a great clitoral orgasm, and that's cunnilingus. And I know that there are some women out there who, for some crazy reason, don't like having a guy go down on them. And I tell you, these women are crazy. And there are some, I mean, actually probably too many guys who find the idea of going down on their lady to be some kind of horrible chore, similar to how a lot of you probably felt about blowjobs at one point in time. I actually met one guy who said that oral was something he was only saving for either a serious relationship or marriage. And he also, strangely enough, wasn't crazy about making out unless he was in a serious relationship. And I was all, are you like the pretty woman of oral and kissing? The women I've spoken to who aren't into having a man down there, generally it's because they feel embarrassed about it. They mention feeling that it's dirty or wrong somehow. They also might worry about odor or taste, or they just feel like it's way too up close and personal, and it makes them feel really vulnerable. And hearing that, it really makes me so sad, because I believe we wouldn't have been created with this amazing little pleasure button for nothing. And the sensation of a warm, wet, and slippery tongue gliding across the clitoris is as close to heaven on earth as I personally can imagine. Now, as far as smell or taste, each vagina has a slightly unique flavor, and this is based on a woman's diet, and that affects the acid balance all up in there. But the smell and odor of a healthy, STD-free, and yeast-free lady garden is actually surprisingly generally pleasant to most guys. And allowing your man to please you and give you that level of pure sexual bliss that oral can give, it's really a gift to him. It feels like a gift to you, but it's really a gift to him. Because remember how I told you in Language of Desire how men are actually wired to want to please a woman. This is exactly what I mean. He feels amazing when you let him give you this much pleasure. I promise you. So I'm actually going to, I asked my man panel, and I want you to hear what they had to say on this topic. So the first guy says, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing I love more than to use my mouth and tongue on my wife, to feel her twitch, to hear her moan, to sense her orgasm building until she is quaking and convulsing in ecstasy because of me. It's my favorite part of having sex. Another guy says, I know some women worry about how they taste or smell, and I certainly appreciate a clean pussy fresh from the shower or bath, and bare or neatly trimmed. But the scent of a woman is something to be savored. That sweet, musky smell is like heaven to me. And this man said, my wife smells and tastes like a tropical drink. Seriously, I crave her. And lastly, this guy says, when I go down on my girlfriend and bring her to orgasm by flicking and teasing and sucking on her clit, when she comes, I feel like a fucking rock star. So, if you are nervous about cunnilingus, I implore you, actually I beg you, to go and just get yourself freshened up, and all you need is mild soap and water. I want you to stay away from those feminine hygiene cleansers because they can actually wreak havoc on your pH balance down there. And trim up your pubic hair. You can shave it. You can be completely bare, or sometimes just trimmed. Get rid of the wild hairs flying around. But let yourself experience one of the absolute best things about being a woman. Now, if you have a partner who isn't interested in oral, I can tell you it's probably because he's not certain about his oral prowess. So here's a few things you can do. First of all is talk about it. Describe to him how amazing oral sex feels to you, and explain to him that it's a way that he can send you over the edge pleasure-wise and how much you love it. The next thing is to give him some direction. Let him know, do you prefer a slow warm-up? Do you like a lot of saliva or lube? Do you prefer flicking or sucking? What about a simultaneous finger exploring your labia, nipples, vagina, or even your anus? Let him know the specifics so that he can bring you to climax with ease. And also redirect anything that doesn't feel great. So if he's being too rough or you want actually a little bit more pressure, you can say, I love it when you gently run your tongue in a circle, or whatever it is that you want him to do. And also you want to make sure you're encouraging him with your moaning. And if you need to, you can adjust the angle of his head by gently moving it. You know, just grab onto his ears and move it slightly to where you need it and say, right there. And when he's getting you close to climax, you tell him, don't stop. Or the super direct, don't you dare fucking stop. That does the trick to keep him going right where you need him to get you to the fireworks. So what if you can't seem to have a clitoral orgasm no matter what you do? It's cliche but true that practice makes perfect, and particularly when it comes to this subject. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, don't stress about it, because anxiety is an orgasm killer. If you find yourself getting frustrated, just take a deep breath and stop fretting. Move on to another pleasurable activity. And remember, the orgasm isn't the be-all, end-all of sex. You can just enjoy how everything feels. Stop trying so hard and come back to it. Second thing is go back to all of Module 2 in Language of Desire. Focus on mentally getting aroused by surrounding yourself with as many sexy things and thoughts as you can, getting in touch with what really turns you on, not what you feel like is supposed to turn you on. And then I want you to go out and get yourself a multi-speed vibrator, and I want you to play around with it. So take the time, private moment, lock your bedroom door or be in the bathroom, and just play around with placing it here and there in different spots. Because maybe your specific hot button isn't directly on your clit, but it might be when you lay it to the side of it. That's when climax occurs. It also can be the different speed settings is what you need. So just experiment. I also want you to try a detachable shower head and play with the settings when you take a super long, uninterrupted shower, because pulsating water against your lady bits can be magical. And I also want you to encourage your partner to take his time and try different sensations. It isn't about a race to the finish. It's more about just discovering his own skills and talents and what feels good to you. So have him try massaging, light pressing, little circles with his fingers, even gentle tugging. That means kind of grabbing the sides of your actual butt and pulling on the clitoris gently. All of this can give you different levels of pleasure, and I want you to communicate what feels good to him. And lastly, just relax and just enjoy how good it feels. Don't focus on the need to orgasm. The more you relax, the more likely it is you're actually going to get to climax. And you can also consider using a vibrator with your man. So, okay, it's true that some guys get totally unnecessarily threatened by a little battery-operated boyfriend. That's one thing to consider. However, the truth of the matter is that if you can get yourself to orgasm with a vibrator, but you can't with him, it could be that your body has become accustomed to that specific vibration, and you might be one of those women who can only orgasm with the aid of that fast little buzz hubbing against your clit. And there's no shame in that. It's not a reflection of how good of a lover your man is at all. It's just how your body's wired. That's it. So you can try bringing it out when you're having intercourse. Ask him, hand it to him, ask him if he'd like to use it on you. This is a great way to include him in the process, because he is still the one giving you the orgasm. It's not so much the vibrator as it is him using it on you. And if he balks at that, just gently explain how much you love how he makes you feel. But then in order to climax, your body just has a little quirk where it needs that buzz factor. It's just that simple. It's not possible for the human tongue or finger to move at that speed of vibration. It's just not. And most guys, when they understand that a vibrator isn't there to take their place, and you encourage him to experiment with new ways to give you pleasure, they happily change their mind and they end up enjoying it. Okay, we're on to female orgasm number 2. the G-spot orgasm. So let's talk about the mythical G-spot, which is as popular and possibly fictional as Bigfoot. Actually, unlike Bigfoot, the G-spot orgasm is alive and well and worth the practice to achieve. It won't just make you feel good. This kind of orgasm is good for your health and makes you look incredibly hot when you have it. So what is the G-spot and why is it called that? Named after German gynecologist Ernst Grafenberg, the G-spot is actually a very controversial and disputed area of the vagina that some scientists don't even think exists. Partially, this dispute arises because it can't be proven that every woman does, in fact, have a G-spot. So I'm going to preface this section with, please do not make yourself crazy if you go on a G-spot quest and you don't ever find it. Okay, it's possible that you might not have one, and that's okay. It's not weird or abnormal. It's just one of those things. So the G-spot is reportedly located in the front wall of the vagina. It's usually 1 to 3 inches inside, and it lines up alongside the urethra with the paraurethral or Skene's glands. Those are there behind the scenes too. And some experts even hypothesize that the G-spot could be an extension of nerve endings that are coming from the clitoris. As we explained above, the clitoris actually extends up inside your body. So the bottom line, while it's been researched and discussed since the 1940s, there isn't a definitive answer from the medical community about what exactly the G-spot is. Let's talk about the G-spot orgasm because so many of us have experienced it. So what does it feel like? A G-spot orgasm is described by many as feeling deeper, and it's distinctly different than a clitoral orgasm. Where a clitoral orgasm may feel like a red-hot pinpoint of buzzing electricity, the G-spot orgasm kind of has like a wider reach, and it includes a warmth and tingling in the entire vaginal region, as well as the belly and lower abdomen as a whole. And the waves of the muscle contractions during climax can feel different too. Now, every orgasm feels different to every woman. However, generally speaking, this is how it's differentiated in terms of sensation. So now to the all-important question, how do you achieve a G-spot orgasm? Well, you can reach the G-spot in a few ways. Manually, your partner should enter his finger into your vagina with his palm up and have him use, you know, his index or his middle finger and have him actually feel along the front wall of your vagina 1 to 3 inches in. He might feel a distinct raised bump there. He might not. It might feel a little bit spongy. Men say that there's a slightly different texture right around the G-spot than the other parts of your vaginal wall. So have him use his finger as if he's motioning someone to come over here. You know, that little wiggle. And that little finger wiggle is one of the most consistent techniques to massage and stimulate your G-spot. The level of pressure that he uses should start out very light and then increase as you become more aroused. And you'll want to communicate to him what feels best. If he needs to move over a little bit or go down a little bit, you know, let him know. There's also a variety of toys that are specifically designed to stimulate the G-spot. Generally, they're curved in shape, so it can reach that front wall. They might have a vibrating feature or special like nubs at the end to effectively stimulate it. And if you want to explore finding your G-spot on your own through self-play, you'll definitely want to get yourself one of these kinds of toys because it's rather difficult to insert your own hand into your own vagina, palm up, and then use the come here, you know, finger wiggle. Also, depending on the size and shape of your partner's penis, you can stimulate the G-spot during intercourse, and this is fun. Some of the recommended positions to try are, have you lie face down on your tummy, kind of like a modified doggy style, and he enters you from behind while you're resting flat. You can angle your hips up for him or even wrap your legs around him if you're flexible enough. And this works especially well if his penis is angled a little bit downward. You can also do legs over the shoulders facing one another and just have them use shorter strokes or shorter thrusts to keep the pressure in that front zone of 1 to 3 inches of your vagina. And also you can just do regular old doggy style, but just not going too deep. Remember to tell him to focus his thrusting and pressure on the first 3 inches of your vagina, so not all the way in. And one thing that's important to note is that G-spot stimulation may take longer than a clitoral or an A-spot, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So it may require a longer period of time. So maybe start out with the finger and then with a toy and then move to intercourse. And for some women, it may take as long as 60 minutes to achieve orgasm. So the first few times you explore your G-spot, just have some patience. And know that it might just be a matter of exploring and finding it the first few times rather than actually having the orgasm. But with a little bit of practice, the reward will definitely be worth it. Next, we're going to talk about female orgasm number 3, the quote-unquote squirting orgasm. So there is quite a bit of disagreement among experts as to whether or not women can ejaculate or squirt during orgasm. And some people actually differentiate between ejaculating and squirting. There's just a lot of contention and disagreement. However, from my own personal experience, I can tell you that the answer is yes, that it is possible. So the first time I ever had this type of orgasm, I seriously thought I'd peed myself for a quick second because this was way more than a normal wet spot. It actually looked like a bucket of water had been dumped on the bed. Now, luckily, my boyfriend had experienced this before with somebody else, so he knew right away what had occurred. But I wasn't convinced, and TMI, I had to investigate by closely inspecting and even sniffing the sheets, which is totally gross, but I had to do it, because if I had peed during sex, I damn well wanted to know. And this was mostly so that I could move out of state, change my name, and never see him again out of pure embarrassment. But upon inspecting, and along with his words of wisdom, I eventually accepted the fact that I had, in fact, experienced a squirting orgasm. And this revelation was pretty incredible. And yet my mind raced trying to remember exactly what he'd done differently this time to get me there. And the thing was, it really wasn't because of any particular technique or position that he'd done. For me, it happened during vaginal intercourse with a good amount of G-spot stimulation by his penis. And I'll tell you the truth, I haven't had a squirting orgasm from manual or oral stimulation, although there are women who certainly have. And it did feel quite different than other types of orgasms. It basically felt like it radiated from a much deeper part of my body, way less electric and more of a slow build. And right before climax, there was definitely pressure building near my bladder. It wasn't quite the same feeling of having to pee, but it was very similar. And I believe that I was able to achieve this sexual feat simply by relaxing and tuning into my body. I trusted him, and there was a great deal of trust between us, and I felt free to fully enjoy myself sexually with him. And then these squirting episodes actually began to happen somewhat regularly, as long as I was really, really relaxed and we had a lengthy period of uninterrupted time, I could actually get there. But I will say that the second time I got to that state, I had such a deeply powerful orgasm that I ended up sobbing. It was really, really intense, both physically and emotionally. And afterward, I was just reeling with exhaustion. So for this reason, I had to learn to sort of harness this new ability of mine, because while it was amazing, I just didn't want that kind of intense experience with every single sexual interlude. It just would be too much to deal with. Plus, I don't have a cute crying face, so there's that. But from this, I kind of learned to vary my mental state and change up some of the physical details in order to guide the type of orgasm I wanted to experience. Besides, the tone of a quickie just doesn't lend itself to a squirting orgasm anyhow. So I want you to understand that my personal experience may be quite different from yours. And if you never ever have a squirting orgasm, it does not mean you're doing something wrong. I think that each of our bodies are unique, so what happens with one woman may not happen for another. The bottom line, a squirting orgasm isn't a reflection of your ability to be great in bed or to enjoy fantastic sex. Now let's talk about, some of the science behind a squirting orgasm. If it's not pee that comes out of your body, what is this liquid and where does it actually come from? So when tested, when scientists have been able to gather this liquid, not from me, but from, other test subjects, they find that the fluid that's expelled contains some of the same components as male semen, which is, minus the little swimmers, of course, but specifically it contains prostatic acid, phosphatase, PAP, and prostate-specific antigen, PSA. And that's a lot of the fluid that goes into semen, making it kind of milky and thin. There's a lot of contention in the science and medical community about what to call this. Do they call it ejaculate? Do they call it diluted clear urine? Because there is a small component of urine that, is similar at least to what urine is that's in this fluid. And part of this has to do with just the variations in the test subjects and factors like menstrual cycle and hormone levels that are going to affect the components and the chemistry of what this fluid is. So it isn't a universal for sure thing. So they don't agree on what to call it. But scientists have figured out that the fluid does come from the paraurethral glands that are located next to the bladder and the actual urethra. And these glands are also in very close proximity to the G-spot. So it's good to know that a G-spot orgasm can include squirting, but a G-spot orgasm can also happen without squirting, as we discussed above. So if you really want to go on this mission to try and have a squirting orgasm, what techniques are favorable to achieving it? So like I mentioned above, the most important factor is to be truly relaxed and receptive to pleasure. Focus on your breathing and being 100% present to the sensations happening in your body. And for your partner, clean hands and trimmed nails are important because his fingers are probably going to be doing some probing and wiggling all up in your lady business. Also, to prepare, you might want to have a towel underneath you. And very important to make sure you use the restroom before getting started because it does feel a little like you have to pee, and if you actually do have to pee, you may have too much anxiety and not be able to release. So go pee beforehand. Have an empty bladder. Now, it might be helpful to have like a dildo or a specialized G-spot toy to use in addition to his fingers. And the goal here is to massage and stimulate the front wall of the vagina in the same general area as your G-spot. And you're going to be massaging the G-spot, but also stimulating these paraurethral glands that sit right behind it. So again, have your partner insert his finger and use the come here motion to stimulate the area. And as you're getting aroused, it may begin to feel what's described as rough to his touch. And that just means that the glands are actually becoming swollen with fluid. And as he continues, you're going to feel pressure begin to build. And it may feel very similar, like a need to pee. And that might cause you to freak out a little bit, but it's okay. You just want to relax into it and just imagine letting it flow or even concentrating on pushing it out. It feels like you have to pee, but slightly different. And that's how you kind of know that you're not, in fact, about to pee the bed. You're, in fact, about to have a squirting orgasm. So I'd love to hear on the discussion board if that's something that you have experienced. Okay, next up is female orgasm number 4, called the A-spot orgasm. Now, the A-spot orgasm is one that not many people even know about, and you may have actually experienced it without even realizing it. So, A-spot, it stands for the anterior fornix, and this is the area very deep in the front of the vagina. It's pretty much cozied right up next to your cervix, and because of the depth, the area might be difficult to reach depending on your specific anatomy as well as your partner's anatomy. And it's best accessed either by a penis that's large enough or long enough to reach it, or using a dildo or vibrator. Sometimes a middle finger may be long enough to get to it. Now, some in the medical field have deemed this spot to be like a secondary G-spot, and other people in the field consider it to be an erogenous zone all on its own. But no matter what you call it, an A-spot orgasm feels different than a clitoral or G-spot one. It's described as deeper, similar to the G-spot, but it has a quicker response to stimulation. And interestingly, the area doesn't become highly sensitive to most women right after orgasm. Like for some of us, our clit or our G-spot may become so incredibly sensitive immediately after orgasm that it's almost too painful. It's too much to handle additional touch, so that limits us to the one orgasm. But the A-spot, however, it has less nerve endings, so it's possible to continue the stimulation and be able to ride out another orgasm or two or three, which is so much fun. So how do you have an A-spot orgasm? To access the A-spot, there are two recommended positions. The first is you on top and lean back slightly as to angle his penis toward the front part of your vagina. And from there, you can control the pressure and speed and where it feels best if he can get deep enough. And the second is a modified missionary position where you tilt your hips slightly up, or you can put your legs or feet on his shoulders so that his penis is able to get deep enough, hitting that front spot. And if your partner has a penis that curves slightly downward like a banana, he can stimulate your A-spot during doggy style. You might need to arch your back or tilt your booty up so that he can reach it. Okay, the fifth type of orgasm, and the final one I'm going to cover here, is the elusive vaginal orgasm. So aside from the G-spot and the A-spot, some women do have enough nerve endings in the other areas of their vaginal wall that will allow them to climax just from penetration. My guess is that it's a combination of penis size and shape, or toy size shape vibration, combined with the ability to relax mentally that allows a vaginal orgasm to happen. Personally, I've had a few general vaginal orgasms, different than a G-spot or an A-spot, but it's generally been in combination with specific G-spot and A-spot stimulation. So I think by the time I was able to reach the finish line, pretty much every nerve ending in my whole body was on high alert. I probably could have climaxed just from him stroking my elbow at that point. And I want you to know, if you haven't had a vaginal orgasm, I don't want you to feel bad about it, because for some of us, it simply may never happen. And then one day, when you least expect it, you might be gifted one from the orgasm fairy. So should you purposely try to have a vaginal orgasm? I think you should. I mean, you should try. Trying is good. Experimenting is fun. But just understand that it might not happen. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with your body, or you're not able to relax, or you're not, turned on enough, or your partner isn't good enough. None of that matters. It could just be a simple, biological thing for you, and that's okay. And it doesn't mean that you aren't enjoying all the trying, right? So I just say don't stress about it. And through this whole list of the different type of orgasms, no matter which type you can have that you can easily achieve, even if it's just one type, it's all good. And I've had plenty of sexual experience that were freaking incredible where an orgasm didn't even take place. So the number one takeaway is don't stress about your orgasms.